Let's turn together in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll also be looking in the back of our songbooks at Belgic Confession, Article 12, in just a moment. First, let's read from Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. It's found on page 1195. 1195. Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Specifically, verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then if you'd like to follow along with the reading of Belgic Confession Article 12, and that's found on page 859 in the back of our songbooks. Belgic Confession, Article 12, the creation of all things. We believe that the Father created heaven and earth and all other creatures from nothing when it seemed good to him by his word, that is to say, by his Son. He has given all creatures their being, form, and appearance, and their various functions for serving their Creator. Even now, he also sustains and governs them all according to his eternal providence and by his infinite power, that they may serve man in order that man may serve God. He has also created the angels good, so that they might be his messengers and serve his elect. Some of them have fallen from the excellence in which God created them into eternal perdition, and the others have persisted. And remained in their original state by the grace of God. The devils and the evil spirits are so corrupt that they are enemies of God and of everything good. They lie in wait for the church and every member of it like thieves with all their power to destroy and spoil everything by their deceptions. So then, by their own wickedness, they are condemned to everlasting damnation, daily awaiting their torments. For that reason, we detest the error of the Sadducees, who deny that there are spirits and angels, and also the error of the Manichaeans, who say that the devils originated by themselves, being evil by nature, without having been corrupted. And that's as far as reading in the Belgic Confession. We pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, one of the things that I really enjoy about this time of year is enjoying the various foods that go along with it, the various culinary creations that delight the taste buds. You might say, upon enjoying a particular dessert, who made this? It is marvelous. It is wonderful. It tastes so good. But imagine when you ask someone, how did you make this? Their answer would be, well, I made it out of nothing. Well, that's ridiculous. When it comes to the things that we create, we have to use something. Kids, imagine if you were to ask your mom, Mom, what's in this dessert? And she would say, nothing. Because all things that we have, like desserts made with flour, sugar, and eggs. Of course, we cannot create anything out of nothing. But today we are going to see that our God in the beginning spoke into the void and created everything out of nothing without the aid or use of anything. So today, as we look around, as we taste the culinary creations that God has made, we see the beauty in creation. We see and we marvel at the products of the Lord's hand. Last week, we looked at the God of creation. We saw how in creation, each of the three persons was present. We saw that the Father spoke into the void. It was him who designed and fashioned everything. He did this by speaking the word. Even as our Belgian Confession article says, God made all things through his Son. John said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was that by which all things were made, and the Spirit hovering over the face of the water. So we're going to be looking at this theme this morning. Jesus Christ reveals the creation of all things for the glory of God. And this is really where we want to end up at the end of our sermon this morning, is that as we look at the fact that God made all things out of nothing, we should marvel at God's handiwork. We should marvel at the fact that he has made all these things good. In our first point, then, we are going to be seeing the creation of all things out of nothing is an article of faith. It is an article of faith. Look again with me at Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. By faith, we understand this. In the beginning, God was, as Genesis 1 opens. Before the beginning, there was nothing in addition to God. God was all that there was. And by faith, we understand that in this nothingness, in this void, God spoke. Notice, brothers and sisters, that this is an article of faith. By faith, we understand this. By faith, we know this. By faith, we embrace this. There is a direct connection between faith, reading God's word, understanding it, believing it, and knowing the truth. The only way that you and I know this fact is because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to our hearts, giving us eyes to see this truth by faith. Stated another way, we should not be surprised that the unbelieving world rejects and denies this truth because they do not have faith. This is knowledge that comes to us by faith. By faith we know. By faith we understand. We believe this as truth and we confess it. In the beginning, God created. But what did God create? God created all things. Hebrews 11 says, by faith we understand that God created the universe. The universe here describes everything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, and the waters below. Our article will put it this way: God created all things visible and invisible. Everything that is has been created. God made all these things by his wisdom, power, and word. The sun is the instrumental worker in creation. Scripture says that all things were made in Christ, for Christ, through Christ, and Christ is the heir of all things. So Jesus Christ is unique in how all things are made in him, are held together by him, and are ultimately going to be delivered unto him as he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But what does it mean when we say that God created all things? When we use the word creation to describe things that we make, we always acknowledge we're using something to make something else. If we're making food, we are creating something by using other substances. The word create simply means to make or produce or construct something. But what is the process or the way in which God created everything? It was by speaking. God spoke, Genesis 1 says. He spoke, and by the power of his word, he called all things into existence. He did not use pre-existing material. He did not use any ingredients, if you will, to make the heavens and the earth and the sea. God did not start with a substance. He simply spoke and called all things into existence. Now, the writer of Hebrews is making this point very clear, and he's making a distinction. By faith, we understand that what is seen was not made out of things visible. The writer of Hebrews is saying everything that you see around you started somewhere, had a beginning. The substance has its origin in the God who spoke. Now, the law of conservation of mass teaches this, that matter can neither be created or destroyed. This law goes on to state that matter can be changed, but it must continue to remain. This is the basic mindset of today, and it is also the basic mindset of the Greeks, the context in which Hebrews was written. In the Greek mindset was that matter, substance, was eternal. That it doesn't have a beginning. And if you were to ask someone, an unbelieving neighbor who believes in Big Bang or something like this for where everything came from, if you were to press them, the substance that caused the Big Bang to begin, where did that come from? And their answer will always be, it was always there. Even today, people believe in the eternality of substance and matter. But Hebrews 11 is saying substance and matter, the things, the building blocks of creation, are not eternal. We understand and we believe that these things have a beginning. Stated basically in the Latin, we believe in creation ex nihilo, from nothing. Everything that was created started with God and began when he spoke. These came into existence when God said, "Let there be," and there was. So children, this simply means that if we go to the beginning pages of Scripture, before Genesis 1 verse 1, there was nothing. There was nothing but God. God was all, and he was all that there was. He is the beginning. And apart from him, and apart from his speaking, there would be no substance. There would be no creation. Pressing on, the next question we have to consider is, how long did it take God to make the heavens and the earth? We read earlier in Genesis 2 that as this chapter opens, we find that God finished his creative work in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh. I pointed to this fact earlier from Exodus chapter 20 in the Ten Commandments. In the middle of the Ten Commandments, the ground for working 6 days and resting one, the ground given in Exodus 20 verse 11 is that God created everything in 6 days and he rested on the seventh. Therefore, you are to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. The pattern that we see every week where we work six and rest one is a pattern that was sown in creation. In other words, God did not use millions and billions of years to bring about his creative work. God spoke in the beginning, and he spoke during six literal historical days and caused everything to be brought about. He spoke, and it was. Well, that raises another important question. What are we supposed to do with the supposed evidence of the world's age? Or to push the question a little bit further, how long ago did God create the world? If God did not create the world in millions and billions of years, maybe, the skeptic would say, millions and billions of years have passed since that original creation week. Well, our Belgic Confession Article 12 actually answers the question of when did God create? We believe that God created all things out of nothing, and the answer is this: when it seemed good to him. So the answer of when did God create the heavens and the earth is when God saw fit, when it seemed fit to him. Now, the Bible does not give us a specific date on a calendar when the creation week began, but it was not millions and billions of years ago. It was thousands of years ago. Well, what are we to do then with the supposed evidence for the age of creation? Why does it seem to mankind that this world is so old? Things like fossils or coal or diamonds, even the distance that light has to travel from the stars in the sky. How are we supposed to bring these things to bear when Scripture reveals that God created everything in 6 days, resting on the seventh a few thousand years ago? Well, there are three ways to answer this supposed evidence challenge, the challenge to our faith. Why does the earth appear to be so old? The first solution to why the earth appears to be so old is because God created the earth with the appearance of age. Remember when God spoke during the creation week, he did not speak into existence babes. He spoke into existence mature beings. Just for one example, Adam was not created as an infant. He was created with age. The same thing applies to the different plants and animals. God created them all with the appearance of age. So perhaps this rule applies to all of creation. God created the earth with the appearance of age in its maturity. Now, the second solution could be found in the consequence of the fall. What happened in creation at the fall was not only the introduction of thorns and thistles, but was the introduction of death into creation itself. One of the consequences of the fall into sin is the world is growing old. It is crying out in labor pain. So the consequence of the fall and the introduction of sin into creation brings about catastrophic changes in creation. Everything that God made got old and groans under the weight of sin as it continues to wear out after Adam's rebellion. That's the second solution. The third possible solution comes in the answer of the flood. What happens to the earth when you cover it with miles of water? Is that intense pressure and catastrophic changes, moving of mountains, brings about the great change and the appearance of great age on the face of the earth. So as Christians, we have to be ready to give a defense for the hope in our heart. We have reason found in Scripture for why the world appears to be so old. We need to be ready to give a defense for the hope that's in our heart. So to summarize our opening point then, God created everything out of nothing when it seemed good to him. He spoke and all things appeared. One of the applications is this: we should marvel at the beauty of creation. We should marvel at the diversity and beauty of all these things that God has made. It's often been said that the handiwork of God is written in the stars. When you look at each flower, you see the thumbprint of our God. God has given creation to us so that we might stand in awe and say, behold the wonders, behold the power of our God. And God has given creation to man so that mankind would glorify God by its proper use. Well, now that we've considered the creation of all things, we're going to zoom in on the creatures that God has made. A Belgian Confession article gives us this general statement: God gave all creatures their being, their form, and their appearance, each serving its unique function. And the general function of all things is to glorify God, but also to enable man to glorify God. God made the water, the land, and the sky the first 3 days, but then he spends the next 3 days populating, filling, and covering the things that he has made. So God created the heavens, and then he fills the heavens. He creates the earth, and then he fills the earth. He creates the sea, and he fills the sea. One further lesson that we learn from the creation of all these things is God created them each distinct and gave them their own mandate. Repeatedly in Genesis chapter 1, you will read this: God created this creature according to its kind, and God gave a mandate to this creature to increase in population, to spread and fill the creation. When Genesis 1 says that God makes each creature according to his kind, and then says to that specific kind, increase in population, God is making it very clear that each kind is going to increase according to its kind. In other words, Genesis 1 is saying that fish increase the population of fish. Birds increase the population of birds. There is no crossing the boundary of species. Fish remain fish, birds remain birds, animals give birth according to their kind. God does not use evolution to bring about variety and diversity in the animal kingdom. He sows variety and diversity in creation itself during that first week. Any class in zoology will prove this point. When you look at animals, they give birth to their own kind. Children, what kind of animal does a horse give birth to? Colts, baby horses. Pigs give birth to piglets. Dogs give birth to puppies. Cats give birth to kittens. This seems obvious and elementary, but it is an important point that we must remember. God created all things to give birth according to its own kind. And then returning to our Belgic Confession article, we find that there is a specific focus on the creation of angels. We're not going to be looking at the creation of man. That's in Article 14. So we're going to be looking at specifically the creation of angels. When you read in Genesis 1 through 2, you will not find the word angels. So where did these spiritual beings come from? They just seem to show up on the pages of Scripture. In fact, the first time you'll run across an angel in Scripture is actually the introduction of Satan or the devil. And the reason this is so important, and the reason this is being taught and instructed in our passage, is the Sadducees of Jesus' day were denying the existence of anything spiritual. The Sadducees would say that there's no such thing as angels, there's no such thing as demons, there's no such thing as a spiritual realm at all. So this particular article is saying not only is there a spiritual realm, but there is a diversity within the spiritual realm. For example, you will read throughout Scripture, the pages of Scripture, the introduction of angels. Just for one example, that's Genesis 18. That's where the three visitors appear to Abraham, and those visitors are called angels, and one of them is specifically the angel of the Lord. So you have the introduction of angels. You also have cherubim and seraphim. Cherubim and seraphim are different kinds of spiritual beings. Almost every time that an angel appears, he appears in the form of a man. And whenever an angel appears, he has the function of being a messenger. God is bringing a message to mankind. Think of the messengers that were sent to Mary and Joseph as well. These messengers of God are bringing message, often of good news, of great joy for all people. So you have the angels, but you also have the cherubim and the seraphim. This is found, one of them is found in Isaiah chapter 6. These cherubim and seraphim are distinct. They are different. They look totally different from angels. They are mighty beings. They have six wings, so three pair, one pair covering their face, one pair covering their feet, and one pair with which they fly. These angels, cherubim and seraphim are not called angels, but they are majestic spiritual beings that even created by God for the distinct purpose of glorifying and praising God and guarding his presence from all things that would be wicked. And then finally, we also have the creation of angels who rebel. So not only are there good spiritual beings who remained in this state of purity, you have fallen spiritual beings. The devil or Satan led a great rebellion, likely during the creation week, a rebellion in which a large number of fellow angels rebelled against God. That Satan or the devil was motivated by pride, not content with his place, leads an anarchy, if you will, against the triune God. So our article says some angels fell from their existence in which God made them. These devils or evil spirits or fallen angels are enemies of God and everything good. They go out to battle against Christ. And now that Christ is in heaven at his Father's right hand, these fallen beings battle against Christ's people. They battle against the church, as we find in the book of Revelation. So these fallen creatures, these fallen angels, are real. They are spiritual beings, but they are limited. They are creatures who are subservient to God. The devil is not a parallel equal to God. The devils and Satan himself remains a creature. And as a creature, he is restrained and can do only what God gives him permission to do. These fallen beings are expecting something. They are expecting Jesus Christ to come back and cast them into the bottomless pit. They know they have been defeated. Jesus Christ himself says, "I saw Satan fall like lightning." Satan tried to tempt Jesus to commit sin. Jesus rebuked and refused to submit to Satan's plan, and thus Satan has been overcome. Added to this, God's people are promised that Satan will soon be crushed under our feet. Jesus Christ is placing all of his enemies not only in subjection to him, but subjection to his people as well. Another comfort is this: we have the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Scripture says, "He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world." The Holy Spirit, being the third person of the Trinity, dwelling within us, is a great fortress to protect us and to defend us from all of Satan's armies. The devil is a roaring lion, to be sure, seeking one whom he might consume. But the Holy Spirit within us protects us and defends us so that Satan cannot touch us and cannot lead us into destruction. As that great hymn says, "Their doom is sure, one little word shall fell them." This is great and comforting good news, that Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. The devil is real, but he is limited. He is restricted. He is on a chain, if you will. Fallen angels are waiting for their time of future torment, expecting Jesus to come back at any moment and cast them out. So to summarize this point, God created all things visible and invisible. We sometimes forget about that second aspect, visible and invisible. What you see with your earthly eyes is not all that there is. We are in the middle of a spiritual battle between good and evil. A battle not only between elect or good angels and reprobate or fallen angels. Yes, a battle between them. But it is also a battle that has already been won by Jesus Christ, the victorious one. All things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, created for the glory of our God and for the good of those who serve him. To conclude, the topic of creation should be a topic of great joy and delight. As we taste the delicacies of God's creativity, we marvel, "What is man that you would crown us with glory and honor, that you would place all these things in subjection and submission to us? Who are we, O Lord, that you would bless us with the beauty of such a diverse world?" As we ponder creation, we cannot help but also looking ahead. Because we know that this creation is groaning, it's waiting in eager expectation to the time when Jesus Christ will make all things new. Reconciliation is coming. Reconciliation not only already experienced by us in our hearts, but reconciliation in creation, which is also secured by Christ's precious blood. So as we behold the good things that our God has wrought, let us give thanks and acknowledge Him, our God, as the fountain from whom all these things come. Jesus Christ reveals the creation of all things for the glory of our God. He makes all things beautiful in His time. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the beauty that we can see around us, and we thank You for the promise of ultimate victory. We do pray, Lord, that You would continue to fill our hearts with a joy and a thanksgiving as we see the beauty around us. May we acknowledge You as the giver of these good gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.